Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There was a young-ish couple who decided to host a big summer cookout. They invited all their friends to come over for a night of food and fun and fellowship. But of course, before their friends or their guests arrived for the evening, there were so many preparations, so many things that needed to be done. The house needed to be cleaned. The floors needed to be mopped and vacuumed, probably other way around. Bathroom scrubbed. On top of that, there was all the food prep that needed to happen. The groceries needed to go shopping for. The chopping, the peeling, the cooking, the boiling, and the grilling. There's a lot that needs to be done in order to host the cookout. So the couple got up early in the morning of the cookout, and with much joy and excitement, they dove right in to the cleaning. Of course, after a few hours of cleaning, they shifted gears to food prep, making the burgers and boiling the brats in the very right way that they're supposed to be boiled, tossing the salads. By now, it's early afternoon. It's only an hour left before the guests arrive. But here's the thing. The joy and the excitement that was there when they started, well, had given way to anxiety and some frustrations. They noticed something in all of these preparations, that while they started out with joy and excitement over the hosting, as the time was getting closer and closer for the guests to arrive, they were tired. They were worn out. They had become short-tempered and sharp-tongued. Their joy and excitement had turned into frustration and anxiety. So what was the problem? How is it that this couple started in one place and ended up where they were now? Well, here's the deal. In all of their preparations for hosting, they had forgotten to sit down and to actually have a meal for themselves. Their work seemed to take priority over their eating breakfast or lunch. And because they didn't have a healthy portion of food, well, they just got downright hangry. Right? You know that word? Hangry, hungry, angry. Does that sound familiar? This could be semi-autobiographical in our house. All right? Have you been there before? Maybe this was you as you were preparing to host your friends or family. But I think, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, this illustration could be used and expanded as a metaphor, really, for the Christian life. Right? Do you start the work of caring for the needs of your neighbor, which is a good thing, before you have had a healthy portion of food? I'm not just talking about your Wheaties. I'm talking about spiritual food. As Christians, the work that we have to do in our individual vocations, well, it is good, right, and salutary that we do them. To quote Reverend Hale Sinkbile, "The faithful Christian is the arm of God's love as he or she serves others in doing faithfully the ordinary, routine things of daily life. Father, son, employer, employee, bank executive, dishwasher, CEO, student, right? The vocation of every Christian, I want you to hear this, is a holy calling. Because through us, God is at work as we provide for the wants and the needs of our neighbor in the name of Christ Jesus. It's a good work. So why is it then that we become so often full of frustration and anxiety? Why is it that we become so short-tempered and sharp-tongued with those that we love, those that we don't necessarily? Why do we become hangry? Well, it may be that we have just gone too long without a good portion of God's word, a good portion of Jesus, before we do the good work that he has called us to do. This seems like it was the case for Martha in our gospel reading today from Luke chapter 10. right? Jesus in this big crowd, remember he sends out the 72 and all the people are following along with Jesus. Jesus and this big crowd that had been following after him come to the village where Mary and Martha live. Food needed to be prepared for the teacher, Jesus, and for all the guests. And Martha seemed up for the challenge. She started cooking. She started cleaning. She started preparing courses of food to feed Jesus and all these guests. And it was good work. It was and is a God-pleasing work to offer hospitality to those who are coming into your house. It's a reflection of God's love for them. Her diakona, or her service, was what was expected at that time as the traditional and as the appropriate role for the woman showing hospitality to a guest. The problem, however, was that Martha thought that she was the only one doing the important work. Her sister, Mary, over here, was being lazy, according to her, by sitting and listening to Jesus rather than helping with all of the preparation work in the household or in the kitchen. The short temper and the sharp tongue of Martha spoke out to Jesus, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Tell her to help me." To this, in Jesus, with grace and mercy and with wonderful love, said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious about and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken away from her." The good portion. Right, in all this talk about food prep, Jesus makes a little play on words indicating what the good portion or the good meal actually is. And that is Christ and the word that he brings. Mary had a choice between working to serve the Lord or sitting and being served by the Lord. That's an important distinction. Mary chose the good portion. It was the right priority. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is why you're here this morning, is it not? You work, each in your own vocations, and through you, God is at work for the service of your neighbor. But you gather here, in this place and in this time, to receive the Lord's work for you. You are here to receive the good portion. You are here to sit at the feet of Jesus because you believe that in the divine service, which is what we call this, the divine, God himself, is serving us. Sitting at the feet of Jesus and receiving his word and his supper is like receiving your spiritual breakfast or your lunch or dinner that feeds you, that strengthens you, that enlivens you, as you then go out from this place and live out your vocations and service to others. Here in this place, you receive Christ, who comes into this house and invites you to partake in the good portion of Christ and his word. So brothers and sisters in Christ, right now you're not offering service to God. Right now, this is all about Christ's service for you. You know, you get that mixed up sometimes, as I do. We're in good company. Martha wasn't the only one ever to mix up the order of things. She's not the only one who thought that she was going to first offer her service to God. We have another example in our Old Testament reading today with Sarah and Abraham. As the Lord came to visit them by the oaks of Mamre, Abraham encouraged Sarah to quickly go and get to work and provide hospitality to the Lord. Take some flour, make some food, get some water. And then Abraham himself goes out and gets some meat that can be cooked and presented. Right? It's a good work, to be sure. That's hospitality. But see, the Lord surprised them with a greater work for them as he promised them a son. From the barren womb of Sarah, the Lord promises that a son would be born, and that through this son, all the nations would be blessed by God. So that's Abraham and Sarah, and Abraham is the father of faith, right? But then we have another example in the scriptures with David and his son Solomon. David once thought that he would build a beautiful house for the Lord. This is the king, right? The king of Israel. After all, it wasn't fitting that the ark of the Lord should dwell in a tent when the king himself was dwelling in this palace made with cedar. The desire to do this work for God seemed to be a noble endeavor to Nathan, who is the prophet or the pastor, to David. That is, until the Lord spoke about his greater work for David. And this is what the Lord says to Nathan. He says, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? I've not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I'm moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' And the answer is no. Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the names of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. And when your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." David thought he was going to do something wonderful for the Lord, but the Lord turns it on its head. From the seed of David, a kingdom would be established that would last forever. David thought he would serve the Lord, but the Lord reminded him again of the order of operations. It's the Lord who serves first. And then David's son Solomon, in all of his wisdom, saw with the eyes of faith that the physical temple that he was permitted to build would only be small potatoes in relation to the work that God would do as his presence filled the temple. In all of these examples, brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord is pointing us forward to Christ and his word. For Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise that was made to Abraham. Jesus is the everlasting king from the seed of David. Jesus is the temple that the presence of God fills. Jesus is the one who is present in the home of Mary and Martha, and Jesus is the one through whom God does his greatest work for Abraham and Sarah and David and Solomon and Mary and Martha and you and me. That work, long in preparation, was revealed as he served us all by his sacrificial death upon the cross. and his glorious resurrection from the grave. Because of his work first for you, you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, are forgiven and you're fed. Forgiven of your sins of sharp tongues and short tempers. Forgiven of your sins of backward priorities and mixed up motivations. Fed by his word. Hearing and believing that Christ is for you. Fed by his very body and blood in his supper, that you might be nourished and your lives lived in service in your vocations. See, Jesus is the good portion that is given for you. And you'll never be taken away. I'm sure that couple who had been working so hard to host their friends for the cookout were refreshed and ready to greet their guests after they had taken in a good portion of food. Their hanger subsided. Now, we're not told quite how Martha responded to Jesus as he was offering his good portion to her as well, though we trust that she, as well as her sister and her brother Lazarus, received Christ's good work on their behalf. In the same way, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I trust that the Holy Spirit is at work in the Word and in the Supper, so that here again in this place, time and time again, well, you also are hosted by our Lord to receive the good portion of Christ and his gifts, which are freely given for you. And then, having been fed by him, you may go in his peace and his strength as you do the good works of serving others in your vocations. For you have chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken away from you. Amen. May the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, who is our good portion. Amen.